Hola, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a bilingual podcast that shares interviews with self-made millionaires, financially savvy investors, and all things financial literacy and dinero. Your host, Natalie Torres, is a two-time TEDx speaker, an award-winning author, investor, and financially savvy Latina that has been featured on NBC, Telemundo, and Forbes as a financial literacy and mental health advocate. She is joined by her co-host, Vera Eatley, an author, investor, and seasoned insurance professional. Hola, hola. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres, her dad, and I'm here with my favorite, Vera Eatley. Hello, my friend. How are you?
So good. How are you today? I'm excited for this episode.
Me too.
Cannot wait.
Tell me who we have.
Okay, so Natalie and I love to talk to these ladies. They are very, very dear friends of mine. We are friends, we're colleagues, we're business associates, we're all of the above, right? And the one thing that brings us together is, besides the fact that we're all Latina, we're all amazing ladies, also is really we love we're fascinated by content creation, not necessarily because we're content creators, although Sandra, you are a content creator. But it's just like the many aspects of it that content creators don't understand when it comes to finances. And obviously, that's why we have them on Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I would like to introduce Sandra Salcido, who has been on the show, as well as Itzel Greenheck. So ladies, say hello. How are you today? Thank you for being here.
Hi, everyone. Excited. Very, very excited.
The last time I saw you ladies was, I want to say 2021 in real life at Vera's amazing spot in the Lake Arrowhead, right?
Yes.
I mean, we've seen each other virtually. We've done this multiple times, but I was like, it's been that long in real life. So we must have a get together soon.
Yes,
yeah,
for
I
sure.
love it. So Natalie, maybe you want to kick us off with that first question that we love to ask our guests.
So we've been thinking about this. Like Vera said, we're all friends. So the one thing that's been coming up over and over is, what's the one money belief that you had in your 20s that you no longer have now? And we're ladies of season. So I'd like to give that to Sandra first, if you don't mind, and then go forward.
That's a great question, actually. Money was hard in my 20s. I had to work hard for it. And now it's just, another 100,000. It's one of those things that it comes easier because you don't see it as you got to work hard for it. And one other thing that it's related to money and also the professional life, it's the value that you bring to the table puts an additional value on what you think about money.
And what was that like for you in your 20s? You said, what made you think about it? Like, why did you think it was so hard?
It's just the way I grew up and the way my parents raised me and my grandparents. And it was always like, you got to go to school, you got to get an education, and you got to work hard to be able to succeed and to be able to have a comfortable life, not even like a millionaire life, comfortable life and be able to like retire a little bit comfortable. So when they put that information in your mind, you're always thinking like, well, I gotta give extra and I gotta work harder to probably make 50K, 100K, and you attach your value to that.
So true.
Yeah,
so true.
That is a good thing to bring up because it's so hard for people to bust out of that belief of working hard will determine what your worth is. Yeah, that is a good one. What about you, Itzel?
Well, I agree with Sandra. That was one of the many beliefs I have. It's difficult for me to pick one, but I'm going to pick one that is very general, actually. I think for me, the whole financial strategy and knowledge, it's not like I have a misconception. It's just, I didn't even know it existed. So that is important to bring up because how many young people don't even understand, you know, what to do with their money and what money is actually about? Once you are making money, what are the investments that you need to make? The savings. Nobody talked to me about the importance of having a savings account. For me, the savings account is where I put my money in order to expend it. You know what I mean? Where people deposit what I worked so hard to make. And there were no conversations like that in my family. We talk about everything. We were so close to each other. You know, we made parties, but nobody had those questions about, okay, we're going to make this party, but what is going to be the cost of doing this party instead of saving or investing or all that stuff? None, nothing at all. It was a big wake up call when I was in my mid-30s.
Imagine, Natalie, all the quinceañeras that we've gone to, and you're like, you could have bought a house. But that, I feel like what you just said, Itzel, is a really great segue. Part of the reason why we wanted to have Sandra and Itzel on here is because, Sandra, with your tax business, you really focus on a really interesting niche. Content creators make a good portion of your business, right? Make up a good portion. So what is something when a content creator comes to you, what is something that they believe when they first get to you? And what do you help them, I don't know, I guess like evolve into afterwards? I'm trying to be nice here because they're young, they have tons of money, you know, so it's like they come to you and like, how do you shape them, you know?
You know, it's complicated because most of them, they make probably 50, 60K 1 year. And then all of a sudden next year, they're making 500K. And they're like, what's going on? And I had one client that asked me, am I going to go to jail? I'm like, how are you going to go to jail if I'm making 500K? Just because I don't know what to do with so much money. Like the IRS is going to take me to jail. I'm like, no. So they're overwhelmed. Aww. That's the main, like they're overwhelmed. Most of the clients that I work with in the content creation space or digital economy are families, and they usually like work from home completely, and it's lifestyle, and they don't know what to do. And they're probably in their mid-20s, and they have one child if they have kids. So it's very interesting to see how like, can you please guide me and can you please get me out of trouble? Yes, I've had some cases when they're already in a big trouble, then we have to clean the mess. But those clients that come overwhelmed, usually it's, okay, we can start in from scratch, right? And then what happens through the process, it's education is a big portion of it. I know they're not going to become experts, because I always tell them like, hey, your expertise is creating content. Your expertise is, you have to be creative there. And my forte, that's why you're hiring me, it's to put everything in order. But I want to make sure that you understand what we're doing. And do you get educated? Because if I die tomorrow, or if you decide to hire someone else, you have to know what I'm doing, right? So the educational part and give them peace of mind to make sure that get organized. And I want to say we have something that is called a money confidence roadmap. And just for them to like follow that roadmap and be like, okay, I'm going to be fine and I'm ready to make a million. And it has happened with many of my clients, especially this year. I see so many businesses that are brick and mortar that are dying. We closed like 9 businesses in December. And I mentioned this, but my clients that are in the content creation space are making over $1 million a year. And we're what, in June? And you're like, wow, I can see the shift. And they're so young. And it's normal to be overwhelmed because they don't understand what's a business and that it's no longer a hobby. It's no longer me editing videos and getting views. It's now a formal business.
And walking them through that, right? That's what you focus on.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's such a, I wonder if you're, and I'm thinking like with the thoughts we had in our 20s, the biggest, you know, fear that we always have, and we have heard this, like when someone wins the lottery so quickly, they tend to fall back into worse habits because you just said it, they're scared of whatever fears they might have. So they haven't had the opportunity to build on some of those skills. I'm interested to hear that. Is there things that from either one of you that you see that you can protect or have them like, do you tell them, hey, this is the one thing I want you to start doing tomorrow to protect yourself, or what tips would you give someone that, they're starting to make some money. Maybe they're just starting out and they're, you know, creating that content and starting to see those, you know, the ka-ching coming in.
Yeah.
The ka-ching. I love the ka-ching.
The first one should be to have insurance, actually.
Oh, well, okay. I'm gonna give you one which they don't.
Yes.
I'm going to give you one before the insurance. Okay. And then you can talk about the insurance. It's opening your company. opening your LLC. Mm. That's the number one thing. And yes, then that insurance component, it's super important. But just because of the liability aspect that we see that it's been happening now in the last couple of months with a lot of content creators, it's just having your company and having their proper protection as well. So
makes a lot of sense.
I'll give you the floor itself.
Yeah, Itzel, that's why we have Itzel here, because your insurance expertise is amazing. So like from content creator, what are some important coverages that they should have? And mind you, Natalie and I always say this is an educational podcast. This is about giving you information. It's entertainment. But, you know, things for you to explore when you have time, or you can contact Sandra and Itzel and they can guide you. But what are some things that you know that it would be good for them to have?
Well, like Sandra said, I mean, it's so funny because I think we are still in the mentality that you either need to work hard or you need to find, a kind of like a job that looks like a job. If you are creating content and having fun, then that is not really a business. So going back to the insurance, what I tend to see is that people don't believe that what they are doing, first of all, is a business. And it's a way for making money and to, you know, to start working on what is going to be their livelihood. So the insurance part is super important because it's basically first getting into the mindset of this is now a business. This is now something that it's me, but it's also a company that I need to make, you know, that I need to protect. It needs to be protected for what? Well, it needs to be protected from defamation. It needs to be protected for liability. It needs to be protected from slander. It needs to be protected for depending on exactly what, you know, what are you doing for any type of cybersecurity. So it's a lot. And I understand why Sandra said that they are overwhelmed, but that's why, again, the first step is at least to have insurance, at least to have a liability insurance. Yeah.
I'm curious because actually all three of you have that insurance background. That's one of the things with Vera. And I'm like, Vera, what is this? there's so many questions that come to mind. And I'm sure a lot of content creators or anyone that's starting a business, right? The right insurance is key. But like, is there a range that you recommend when it comes to like, you're starting out. And so like, hey, this is the basic insurance plan that you've seen that's helpful for them. Because yeah, we forget that you might be creating content. Like when Vera and I were like, oh, we're creating content in California for, you know, anyone that wants to not only talk up dinero, but talk both languages. And then we're like, oh, getting emails from, where are we getting emails from? Ireland, all these places. We're like, okay, this is international now. So what recommendation and what price points can you give us, like what the average is? Because I always tell people like they don't have renter's insurance, especially college students. I'm like, costs like less than $30, like depending where you are, right? So what do you, what do you guys recommend?
Well, you know, what's interesting it also depends on, funnily enough, how many followers you have will determine the rate. But Sandra, break it down from like tax and insurance perspective and how the reaction is when they see the price, even though they're millionaires.
You know, I kind of force my clients to do it. One, it's a tax write-off, number one. So we're always looking for like, oh, how can I save money on taxes? Well, you're going to get you're going to protect your business, right? But it is going to depend on the platform and the number of followers that you have and the type of content that you're also distributing. But I'll give you like a price point from a family content, probably 1.2 million followers, between the biggest ones, TikTok and Instagram. And then that's going to be around $3,000 a year. And it's a media liability. Definitely they need it. And that's also going to depend how much are you making. And then this is a very funny or interesting point to understand. It's content creators can make money from contracts, sponsorships. They can, like collaborations, we call it. They can make money from the platforms. Platforms don't pay as much as they used to, but they do. They can make good money from there. They can make money from products that they're selling, like digital products and all these things. So it also depends where your income comes from to see what's going to be that price point that you're going to pay. But the minimum that I've seen in one of these policies is around $2,000 a year. And from there, it goes up, obviously, and depending on the exposure that you have. And it's one of those things that you can't think of it as just a small policy that is going to protect, I don't know, just in case. Think of this as a need for your business, for the overall structure of your business, for your business to operate.
Thank you so much for listening. You're going to have to stay tuned for part two of this episode entitled, "Would You Like Some Underwear With That Coffee?" We'll see you on the next one.
To learn more about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at FinSavvyIn20Minutes and catch our interviews on YouTube. If you want to become a sponsor, hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, reach out to us at financiallysavvyin20minutes.com or send us a DM. All it takes is 20 minutes out of your day to become financially savvy.